Hey everyone, welcome in to a daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm going to be recording a couple daily editorials on this Good Friday, and it also looks like my Monday's pretty busy, so everyone, keep on checking back on the website as hopefully you're taking some time off, or, I don't know, hopefully doing something fun over this long weekend. I am chatting right now with Craig Hemke, founder and editor of tfmetalsreport.com. Now, Craig, you have shared two charts with me. I will post those below this interview so everyone can follow along. One being a gold daily chart and the other being a daily chart for SILJ. So that is the junior silver ETF. Let's start off with the top chart here, and that is the gold daily chart. You have two downtrend lines drawn here, one in red, one in purple. Clearly this red, the lower one, has, been very tough for gold to break over, especially in March when it started to have that run. Craig, what are you showing by outlining these two downtrend lines, no doubt confirming that gold is still within this downtrend?
Yeah, it's funny, Corey. I started actually with that red line last August, for God's sake. You know, we've been at this now for almost 8 months, this consolidation. In a longer term picture, it's a bull flag on the monthly chart or even the weekly chart. And this consolidation has been going on a lot longer than I thought it would. You know, if 19 and 20, we just kind of consolidated the last 3 or 4 months into the end of the year and then re-rallied at the first of the year. And instead this year it's kept going. So maybe we'll re-rally later in the year to be the opposite. But it has been a tough first quarter as this consolidation, this bull flag has been playing out. Well, we first started following the red line, that red arrow on that chart back in August of last year. And it proved to be really stout resistance for about 4 months, all the way into December. What's interesting, though, is the top of the bull flag that the more longer-term technicians are following for a key breakout is the purple line. And that starts at that same early August date, connects through that peak on November the 9th, right after the election, and that was that morning when the Pfizer vaccine was announced and gold was hit for about $100 that day. So the recognized peak the recognized top of that bull flag is the purple one. And what's amazing is the purple line and the red line are completely parallel as I've drawn them, which is just a remarkable part of whether it's technical analysis. Sometimes I refer to what I do as manipulation analysis, but whatever. You look at this chart, I mean, you can see it with your own two eyes, the value of it. The thing to watch now is that red arrow. As you mentioned, there was about 2 weeks in March where price tried to get above the red arrow. I mean, it was like 8 or 9 days in a row. It either butted up against it, maybe got a couple dollars above it and fell back before falling sharply, as everybody experienced last week. We'll see now what happens because on Thursday, we're butting right up against it again. The importance of that line, as you look at the chart, notice that once price got above the red arrow in the middle of December and then traded sideways within that band between the red arrow and the purple arrow from the middle of December through the end of March. Well, notice as long as you're above the red arrow, 1, 2, 3, 4 different attempts were made at the purple. So the key in getting back above the red now would seem to be we take a shot at the purple again. So I invite everybody to watch really all of next week to see if we can get back above that red arrow and stay there, because that would clearly, at least by virtue of this chart, set us up for another run back at the top of the bull flag. And the other thing that's interesting about that is, as you can see on this chart, that's around 1780 right now. All sorts of traditional technical analysts and Elliott Wave guys and the rest are watching the 1760 to 1780 area for their own breakout. So the first step to my eye is getting above the red. And if we get above the red, we can make a run at the purple. If we get above the purple, maybe we're going to start getting somewhere and we can say the bottom is in. I mean, you can sure see what is maybe a double bottom at 1680 on here. So at least that's a start.
Yeah, for all the gold bugs out there, hopefully this double bottom turns out to be more solid than that other double bottom they were all touting about a month and a half ago that, well, yeah, we broke down off of, right? But really, this chart does show, and through your analysis of it, there's a lot of resistance levels for gold to still get through. That's what happens during a seven-month-long correction. Craig, what do you think could help drive gold higher then? Because a day like yesterday on Thursday, so it seemed like a lot of the markets that were pressuring gold, such as yields rising and even the U.S. dollar rising, they started to reverse. It was, or is, just the first day of trading in a whole new month and a whole new quarter, so let's see where it takes us. But what other factors need to support a turn in gold?
Well, you've touched on it, Corey. You know, I've long said physical supply and demand have very little impact. Certainly on a daily basis, they have zero impact at all. What drives the price of these futures contracts is the supply, the demand of the futures contract itself. And who demands them? Well, the traders. Well, who are the traders? It's not you and I. The amount of actual human beings doing the trading of these contracts is pretty limited. What do we know? 85, 90% of all New York Stock Exchange and NASDAQ trades are done by HFT. Well, you got to figure it's about the same percentage trading these precious metals futures contracts as well, both gold and silver. So if we're going to get a bottom here, if we're going to keep going, we need some help from the key inputs that those HFT machines are programmed to follow. And what are those inputs? We need interest rates to come back down on the 10-year note, a bond market rally. We could also use the dollar to come back down too. Again, think of this. When we were making those highs back in August, the 10-year note was 0.6% for a yield. By the time we got to the end of the year, we were at 0.95 and price was still around 1900. Well, heck, now we hit 175 just this week. So that's a big reason why we're down 10% this quarter. Then think about what happened in March, where we fell, like you said, down through 1780 and down to 1680 on two different occasions. Well, the dollar index rose from 90 to 93 in March. Actually, 93 something earlier this week. So the machines see those moves. The machines then react by selling more gold futures than they are buying. So we got to turn that around. Two bits of good news. The dollar has gotten very overbought by measure of the RSI, a momentum indicator. That number got to 71 earlier this week. That's the highest it's been since March of last year. Very rarely do you see the dollar index get over 70, which is technically considered to be overbought. So the dollar is due for a pullback. Again, it was up 3 points just the last month. So that'd help. The other part, though, is the sell-off in bonds. I've written and spoken a lot about yield curve control and the Fed needing to cap rates, but they're obviously reluctant to do that. What might happen, though, is just get a kind of a relief of the relentless selling that has moved even just since the 1st of February. The 10-year note's gone from 1% to 175. That's a huge move in 2 months. If we just get a little bounce there, that'll help too. Get us through that red arrow, move us up to the bull flag, and then we'll take our chances. And the key level, like you said, is that purple line, but then also what had been viewed as a double bottom, the 1780 low in late November that was followed by 1780 in late February, and then, you know, we broke down in early March. So we get back above 1780, that'll get a lot of people's attention.
All right, Craig, let's move on to that SILJ chart. You have the blue line and a red line here. The blue line, this bottom line, a slight uptrend here, really shows the support that the Silver Juniors ETF has had as, look, this market's just been flat out choppy. Now, I do have to ask you, you are drawing a line from that silver squeeze top, which is a complete anomaly out of this chart. To me, it's the blue line that's most important here, but give us a little outline of what you're trying to prove on this chart.
It is an anomaly with a little island, little reversal candle on there. But isn't it remarkable, though, as I've drawn it, that it connects perfectly to that high up above 17 in late February and then the most recent high a couple of weeks ago near 16. So there's something to that red line there, no doubt about it. But as you said, there's more to the blue one, that series of slightly ascending higher lows. There's six of them that roughly connect now. And fortunately, I've been able to profit from at least three. I finally added to some Silge calls this morning, thinking maybe we'll get through that red line and move more towards 16 or 17. But the blue line has held very well. It doesn't mean that if we broke down through that blue that we're doomed. But certainly if we started to move through 13, it would look pretty bad. You'd start thinking about 11 or 10, and that would correspond to what, $19 or $20 silver? So no one here is wanting that to happen. Instead, what we want to do is now bounce again, as it appears we are, from the blue arrow. Get through the red so we can violate that little downtrend from silver squeeze day. And then you can clearly see where we've topped out on several occasions, up near 16 and then 17. Sure looks to me like we've got a chance to run to 16 to 17 here. And if that's the case, it's not going to do it on its own. That would imply that silver is going to be rallying too. And we're not talking about that chart today, but clearly silver, if it can get back above 25, can make a run back to 26. If it does, yeah, we'd probably see the Silge back up near 16 or 17 again. Then that might be another chance to sell your calls or whatever, or the Silge itself, and wait for the next pullback to the blue. We'll just have to see.
Yeah, again, it just needs a little bit of a bounce higher, and at least silver has a lot of drastically different direction to it from the underlying gold price. Craig, when it comes to maybe news events or anything that you're watching that could help the precious metals, I've talked to a lot of gold bugs, and a lot of them are pointing to inflation data coming out. I'm discounting that a little bit simply because of the comparisons to last year and what's undoubtedly going to be some pretty wild numbers that we're going to see. But what do you think could turn at least some more attention if it comes to data into the sector?
Well, inflation is going to pick up on a year, a month over month kind of annualized number, because if you think of the annualized number as a rolling 12-month average, the 2 months that are going to come off on the back end are March and April of last year, right when COVID was kicking in and everybody was shutting down, and we actually had, I might even had negative prints back then. So as those come off and get replaced with March and April of this year, all of a sudden we're going to be pushing toward 2%, maybe even beyond in the, you know, obviously foul and dirty measured CPI. Even that measure is going to get above 2%. So how can this help us? Well, if we can get bonds to not move up with it, and even if we get bonds to rally a little bit, say we start printing 2% CPI with a 1.5% 10-year note, hey, that's a negative 50 basis point real yield again. So, and that's the key driver for gold prices. So we're going to watch that inflation number, see if that doesn't pick up. The other thing I want to pay attention to, though, is I think, Corey, next Wednesday will mark 3 weeks since the most recent FOMC. Doesn't that sound about right? That means we'll be getting the minutes to that that March FOMC next Wednesday. And that will be interesting because sometimes there's some hidden information in there. It'll be interesting to see how much maybe, you know, some of this operation reverse twist or whatever the hell they want to call it, where the Fed stops buying so many short-term bonds and buys some longer-term bonds, that could factor in as well. So we'll look for some surprises next week, maybe buried in those Fed minutes too.
All right. Well, Craig, new month, new quarter, hopefully a better month, hopefully a better quarter for gold and all those gold investors. It's off to a better start, but we've seen good starts to months and good starts to quarters dissipate fairly quickly. So hopefully some more attention just starts to rotate back in there. Yeah, I think a lot also depends on the whole reopening in the U.S. and that whole reopening trade. Craig, great chatting with you, buddy. I hope you have a great rest of your long weekend, and we'll chat again next week.
All right, my friend, you got it.